It's a trap.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 91 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. Today we're going to be covering the Sheathapede class shuttle, recently spoiled to us.
Also known as the Phantom II from the Star Wars television program Rebels, this ship is coming in as an alternate form of the shuttle that can dock in with the Ghost. In this spoiler article, we got all the remaining unspoiled pilots for this shuttle, as well as several new astromechs and crew cards.
Yeah, so let's get right into it.
So in the initial spoiler article for Wave 12, we got a little bit of information on the Phantom II. We've got the Fen Rao pilot card, as well as both of the new title cards, which are similar in form, but different in function compared to the classic Ghost Phantom title cards we saw in the original Ghost expansion. But before we dive into looking at all these new pilot and upgrade cards, let's recap a little bit about this ship as a whole.
Yeah, so it's a pretty cheap platform with a decent stat line. It's got a primary attack value of 2 with both a forward and rear firing arc.
Much like the ARC 170 or the TIE SF.
Right, and then it's got 2 agility, 4 hull, and 1 shield, and the focus, target lock, and coordinate action, along with the crew and astromech upgrade slots. And the cheapest one comes in at 15 points.
Yeah, I think that's the first major point about this ship, is that this is a very inexpensive ship. The lowest pilot, AP5, comes in at 15 points, whereas on the high end, your pilot skill 9, Fen Rao, comes in at just 20.
Right, and so if you wanted to have the docked shuttle on a Ghost, this is now cheaper than the attack shuttle. But you're not getting that second turret attack. You're getting the coordinate action on your Ghost instead.
Well, and I think another key difference between the Phantom II and the original Phantom is that this ship has a lot less of an offensive bend to it. The auxiliary firing arc helps a lot, but with just 2 attack dice and not a lot of great offensive upgrade slots, I don't think you're going to be depending on this ship for a lot of damage output. This is really a support-focused ship.
Yeah, absolutely. That coordinate action is huge. Whereas when we talked about support ships, those Rebel Hawks had all those great pilot abilities for supporting it. Well, now all these Sheathapedes or Phantom IIs have that coordinate action built in to their just base platform, meaning they're going to have pretty comparable support benefits compared to like Kyle Katarn, and actually probably better than Kyle Katarn because you have that option of not just the focus, but, you know, give them a free barrel roll or boost, kind of like an advanced sensors there, which I think is going to be pretty great.
Yeah, the coordinate action is really versatile. We've seen how effective it can be on an Upsilon class shuttle. I've seen some really cool builds that synergize well with using that coordinate so that other ships can get a total of 3 actions in a round in combination with other action-giving upgrade cards. And at just 15 points for the lowest pilot skill Phantom II, that's only half the cost of what the cheapest Upsilon class shuttle comes in at. So I think for the value you get out of that coordinate action, this is a really strong value for the ship being so cheap.
Right, comparing to the Upsilon really impacted what ships you could fit into your list after you've paid for that, whereas here with the Phantom II, you still get that great coordinate action, but can take some really expensive aces or even some large base ships to support. Also, you have kind of the full range of pilot skills here, all the way from 1 to 9, so you can really choose when you want that coordinate action to happen in your list. Whether or not you want that pilot skill 1 version to do some blocking with your ace ships before they maneuver, or just make sure your Phantom II doesn't get blocked so you can get that coordinate action off, or go all the way up to 9 and use that to help your other ships, maybe at lower pilot skill, reposition after your opponent's maneuvered.
Now, I think one big question for this ship is the survivability. Looking at with just 2 agility dice and 5 hit points total, and likely you're going to be spending your action often to trigger that coordinate ability, it seems like this ship is just ready to take a lot of damage.
Yeah, absolutely. That is one of the weak points where, yeah, you're going to have no tokens for defense, most likely, and just 5 hit points with 2 agility. It's pretty squishy. But we've seen Hawks do okay competitively, where they have about the same survivability. The advantage here is that this thing costs less than Hawk. So even if your opponent does focus it down, you're not that far behind.
Yeah, I would say a Hawk with a pretty effective loadout is usually coming at least in the early to mid 20-point range, whereas you can have a pretty effective loaded out or unloaded Phantom 2 at coming in at just the base cost or slightly above that. So for similar survivability, this ship gets you a lot of value for fewer points.
Yeah, so that start of activation coordinate with the Ghost is interesting, but I think I like this ship just as a regular support ship for your list, not tying it with that Ghost.
The one big unknown with this ship is still the dial. Based on one of the preview images, we know it has a 3-white bank, and that's about all we know about its dial, which I guess already makes it a little bit better than a Hawk with that 3-red bank.
Yeah, and having, you know, 2 firing arcs is going to help make it contribute a little bit more. It's going to be firing more often. You probably won't have mods on offense either, but it'll help a little bit there just because it'll get, you know, enough shots off throughout the game if it's not targeted. So that's good too.
So in the initial spoiler for Wave 12, we saw the Fenrau pilot card, but now we have the 3 remaining other pilot cards for this ship. They're all unique named pilots. So let's start at the bottom here with the pilot skill 1 AP5. This ship comes in at just 15 squad points. It does not have an elite pilot talent slot, and it has the pilot ability that reads, when you perform a coordinate action after you choose a friendly ship and before it performs a free action, you may receive 2 stress tokens to remove 1 stress token from it.
So that's a pretty good ability. Stress removal is pretty powerful. And the Rebels really haven't had a great stress clearing support option until AP5. And actually, this is an ability that I think is really good at pilot skill 1, where you want to make sure you clear that stress. You don't want anything blocking this ability from triggering if your ship is stressed and you need to clear that stress token. You really don't want your opponent to be able to interfere with that.
Well, and I think AP5's a really good pilot for a lot of reasons. Overall, the Phantom 2 kind of feels like they all have great pilot abilities just by virtue of them having access to that coordinate action. So AP5's actual pilot ability on top of that seems really beneficial. And it's really versatile, too. So if you're playing against a list that has stress control, this is great, where you can have your ace ship or more expensive fighters that get stress controlled from tactician or similar effects be able to clear that stress. Or you can use it in combination with a ship that's taking Push the Limit to give it even more action efficiency, where it can get its 2 actions from its normal action and Push the Limit, as well as an additional action you get even if that ship's already stressed.
Yeah, I think AP5 is really exciting, and I think it's going to set up a lot of really cool builds. Maybe some expert handling, large base ships getting helped out there could be fun.
Well, and I think his ability, too, pairs really well with the Inspiring Recruit crew card, where after a friendly ship at range 1 to 2 removes a stress, you can remove an additional stress from that ship. So that obviously works on the ship itself. So even if you do receive 2 stress tokens when you're removing a friendly stress, Inspiring Recruit makes those really easy to clear for a really inexpensive upgrade cost.
Absolutely. You're going to want to clear that stress. I think Inspiring Recruit is probably your go-to upgrade with the AP5, because you want to be... If you're taking the ship, you want to be coordinating every turn. So you got to clear those stress tokens.
Now, the middle 2 pilot skill ships for this are Ezra Bridger and Zebarelios. And these ships each come with the same pilot ability that we saw on the previous iteration of the Phantom Shuttle. Zeb, of course, when defending, you may cancel crit results before hit results. He comes in at 16 points and does not have an elite pilot talent. And then Ezra Bridger at pilot skill 5. When defending, if you are stressed, you may change 2 of your focus results into evade results. He does have an elite pilot talent, and he comes in at 17 squad points.
Yeah, I can't think of many good times where you'd want Zeb. I mean, the pilot skill bump for just 1 more point is nice, going up to 3. So maybe if your whole list is functioning at pilot skill 3, that might be appealing. But I think AP5 is just a lot better of a ship. If you're looking at the cheap end, I think you're going to want to pick AP5 over Zeb.
The only reason I thought you might bring Zebarelios is if you wanted to bring 2 of these Sheathipedes into your list, so you could have 2 different ships with the coordinate action, maybe backing up 2 other aces. But I think that application seems kind of limited, and it's a 31-point investment for both Zeb and AP5, and I don't know if that's necessarily worth it to just get that 1 extra coordinate action.
I mean, maybe. These ships are... decent if you compare them to just like a Z95. There are a few more points. You get a extra firing arc out the back, plus an extra hit point and that coordinate action for just 3 points more. That's not bad. But I do think Ezra Bridger is interesting just in 17 points having access to that elite pilot talent slot, where now you could maybe take something like Push the Limit, where you can coordinate and take another action And then he still has access to his defensive ability now because you're stressed.
Yeah, I think there is some value there, making these things even more defensible and make it really undesirable for your opponent to target your support ship. Like we said before, the survivability on these is similar to a Hawk, but with Ezra Bridger's ability and in combination with Push the Limit, you could get both the benefit of having a coordinate action and Ezra's defensive benefit from his pilot ability.
Yeah, so Ezra is interesting. I think the other standout pilot here, though, is Fen Rao at pilot skill 9 with the ability, when an enemy ship inside your firing arc at range 1 to 3 becomes the active ship during the combat phase, if you are not stressed, you may receive one stress token. If you do, the ship cannot spend tokens to modify its dice when attacking this round.
Fen Rao, of course, comes in at 20 squad points and has an elite pilot talent, as well as that pilot skill 9 that we would expect from an ace pilot like Fen Rao. This is interesting, too, because Fen Rao here brings in actually not a support ability, but a control effect here. We're going to be able to limit your opponent's offensive output, similar to pilot abilities like Captain Rex on the Rebel TIE Fighter or Kanan Jarrus on the Ghost. He is a bit more expensive than the other Sheathipedes here, but I think he would do well in combination with ships like Captain Rex or Kanan if you're going for a really strong control synergy in your Rebel list.
Right. We've seen from ships like Omega Leader where stopping your opponent's modifications can really drastically impact the value of their attacks. Now, if they have other passive modifications not linked to their tokens, they can still spend them. But for a lot of ships, this will really disrupt their attacks.
I think maybe my biggest issue with including Fen Rao is that, like we've said before, this ship doesn't seem to be a good damage output ship. And when you're starting to invest points in loading out a ship like Fen Rao, you're getting to the earlier mid 20 point range. And at that point, you could get some pretty effective damage putting out ships like a Y-Wing with Twin Laser Turret. So you really have to weigh the investment here. Exactly how valuable is Fen Rao's ability in your list?
Right. Well, Fen Rao's getting that pilot skill 9 coordinate, which is pretty similar to the effect Ahsoka Tano spending her focus at the start of combat to give another ship an action. So you're getting a really high pilot skill coordinate. You can even go all the way up to pilot skill 11 with veteran instincts on Fen Rao, making it really difficult for ace ships to out reposition you or even potentially help set up some other ships firing munitions, just giving them that end of the order, take a target lock on whatever ships are now in munition range. Should pair nicely with, say, Dutch giving out 2 target locks there.
Yeah, I do think there's some cool stuff going on in the pilot abilities here, particularly AP5 and Fen Rao. You've got some really good support and some really good control effects here. I'm also kind of liking R4-D6 as maybe my go-to astromech for these ships. R4-D6, of course, when you are hit by an attack and there are at least 3 uncanceled hit results, you may choose and cancel those results until there are 2 remaining. For each result canceled this way, receive 1 stress token. That astromech comes in at 1 point. I think that would really add to the value here, especially in a world where since the Biggs Darklighter errata changed, so he can only be used once per game, he was often the go-to choice for putting R4-D6 on. I think this ship would be a pretty good target for that, just to limit the amount of damage an opponent can put through on your support and help you maximize the number of times you can use that coordinate action.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, just for 1 point, that really boosts their survivability. And boost their survivability by just deterring the fire coming at them. That makes them a less appealing target. You're going to have to devote a lot more resources to removing them.
Hey guys, time for a quick Patreon update here. We're ready to announce our December raffle prizes. For the month of December, we're giving away 2 alt art pilot cards, a Corrin Horn alt art card, as well as a Ketsu Onyo pilot card. Ketsu, of course, is a very relevant ship nowadays in the X-Wing metagame, and I think Corrin Horn seems like a serious contender, especially in combination with this new Sheathipede shuttle.
Yeah, I'm excited to try those together.
If you want to be eligible for this raffle, please go to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a patron at any level. A huge thank you to everyone who's already become a patron of the show. We really appreciate it.
And now back to the cast.
So the Phantom 2 expansion is coming with a slew of new upgrade cards. The first one we should recap is probably the two new title cards that are coming in here. The new Ghost title is for the VCX 100 only, and it reads 0 points. Equip the Phantom 2 title card to a friendly Sheathipede class shuttle and dock it to this ship. After you execute a maneuver, you may deploy it from your rear guides. And then the new Phantom 2 title, this is obviously no points. While you are docked, the Ghost can perform primary weapon attacks from its special firing arc. While you are docked, at the end of the activation phase, the Ghost may perform a free coordinate action.
Yeah, I mean, so that coordinate action is pretty good there. It's definitely a good timing window to have a free action. But at that cost of losing those extra attacks that the other Phantom gives you, I'm not sure how popular this will be. I personally think the Phantom one is probably still your go-to choice for your heavy Ghost builds.
Yeah, the Phantom 1 letting you get that extra turret attack during the end of the combat phase is just so good, especially in combination with things like Twin Laser Turret. A late coordinate action, though, is really powerful. I just don't know if it's going to be worth investing all those points in docking the shuttle. The Sheathapede is a cheaper ship to dock, but only just by a couple points, so I don't know if that's going to make a big enough difference here to sacrifice an extra attack.
Yeah, I personally don't think so, but be interesting to be proven wrong on this one. I mean, coordinate action is really powerful, so perhaps the right build needs just the weight of actions to really pull it off and make it worthwhile.
We also got two new astromech cards in this expansion. The first one is really interesting. This is the Flight Assist astromech for 1 point. It reads, you cannot attack ships outside your firing arc. After you execute a maneuver, if you did not overlap a ship or obstacle and there is no enemy ship inside your firing arc at range 1 to 3, you may perform a free boost or barrel roll action.
Yeah, so for 1 point, getting those repositioning actions is really good. This is limited, of course, in its scope, where its use really only comes in for obtaining arc on a ship. But, I mean, that's really what X-Wings needed, was an ability to make sure they were still getting to fire.
Yeah, I think the intention of this card is pretty clear. It's really there to help out ships like the T-65 X-Wing or the Y-Wing, which have been struggling, as many of the new ships coming out have good ways to actively reposition, and those ships have been kind of suffering. This gives them a cheap option to get those reposition actions, though it comes at a pretty good cost there, where you're not able to use those reposition actions if you have a ship inside your firing arc at range 1 to 3. But suddenly giving a Y-Wing and a T-65 X-Wing access to both free boosts or free barrel rolls is pretty strong, and it's going to help a lot with getting those ships set up in the early game.
Right, and obviously it doesn't work with the turreted Y-Wings as well, but I think I really like it on the BTLA-4 Y-Wings, where you're not using turret attacks anyway, and you really want to get ships in those arcs for the double attack. So like a ion cannon BTLA Y-Wing with the flight assist astromech sounds pretty appealing to me.
Now, Carson, I think the real question we all want to know is this going to make Wedge Antilles in a T-65 suddenly that much more usable?
Well, it solves one of Wedge's problems, being a lack of repositioning actions. Wedge still has the problem of not that great a survivability, but, you know, perhaps if you're pairing him with, say, a Lorik or the Fenrau in this Sheathapede to give him some better defensive benefits, maybe. But I think you still have to answer the defensive problem. But I think it'll be a lot of fun repositioning with those high pilot skill X-Wings.
The other astromech we're getting in this expansion is an astromech version of Chopper, which we previously saw in crew card form. This new one has a very different ability, though. The Chopper astromech comes in at 1 point and reads, action header, discard one other equipped upgrade card to recover one shield.
This card's great. I like how in two different cards they've pretty aptly captured the essence of Chopper. He's just savage, doesn't care for anything else. You know, his crew version is giving you damage so you can do actions while you're stressed, and now you're throwing out your upgrade cards to get some shields back in a pinch. Pretty great. Just a lot of fun there.
Well, this card is really interesting thematically, and then it's also interesting mechanically when suddenly there's a lot of value to throwing on cheap or zero-cost upgrade cards that might otherwise not even be usable on the ship you're putting on. Things like maybe the new courier droid, or just an extra guidance chips on a ship that doesn't have any kind of munitions. Suddenly that's more fodder for Chopper to use to get shields back.
Right, on the Sheathapede, you got Chopper for 1 point, and then we have a 0 point crew in the courier droid, so for 1 point you can get a free shield back that way. Not bad. It does still use an action, so on say some like Y-Wing or something that you're loading out with extra munitions and guidance chips just to throw away stuff, I think you're gonna run out of actions here before you get an impactful amount of shields back. But it is cool for this with the courier droid and guidance chips, you can get two shields there for just 1 point. But using up that action when you really want to be coordinating, I'm not sure.
Well, and I think this card is a really interesting design. It's a really cheap avenue to get shield regeneration compared to the other existing avenues like R2-D2 or the Gonk Droid. But it does come at a pretty steep cost where it is taking up that action, like you said, each round to recover the shield. And it does have a cap on how many times you can do this, because eventually you're going to run out of upgrade cards on your ship to discard to get the shields back. And presumably as you're discarding those upgrade cards, you're going to be losing a lot of the abilities you invested points in.
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. I mean, the squad point is very appealing. Just 1 point plus as many 0 point upgrades as you can fit, I think, is how you want to do Chopper.
Really thematic, though. I think we can all appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. And so we mentioned the courier droid. So this is a 0 point limited crew option that reads, at the start of the place forces step, you may choose to treat your pilot skill value as 0 or 8 until the end of the step. And it's worth noting that this is a generic crew, so not linked to a certain faction.
Yeah, in the last several waves of X-Wing, we started to see more abilities that reference setup of the game, things like the new Han Solo pilot ability in the YT-1300, or the tech upgrade Hyperwave Comm Scanner, which allows you to place your ship at the 0, 6, or pilot skill 12 positions. A courier droid feels a lot similar to that. It is 0 points, so the real cost here is taking up that ever-valuable crew slot. And it is limited, and I think that's probably an intentional design for 0 point cards so that if we have future abilities like Chopper or Chopper's ability, they can't be abused by just throwing a bunch of 0 cost cards on there.
Right, so on like a Decimator with Moff Gerard, you can't put a bunch of courier droids on there and keep throwing them out the airlock. But putting one on there is not bad.
No, so Carson, do you think the value here of being able to place at pilot skill 0 or pilot skill 8 is worth taking up that crew slot?
If you're not using the crew slot, I think it is. A lot of ships where you're not using the crew slot are going to have lower pilot skill. They're going to be cheaper ships. And so being able to set them up later, I think, is pretty appealing. I don't think you're often going to want that 0. I think you're often going to want the 8.
It would be a hard sell for me, though. There's a lot of really inexpensive great crew cards, things like Intelligence Agent. And I don't know if placing at 8 is necessarily the most valuable option, especially since for the rest of the game, you're presumably going to be moving at a much lower pilot skill.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some times where you don't have that 1 point. And so this is a nice option to fill out the list because there's a lot of ships coming out with crew options, and sometimes you just don't have the points for that. Like the generic ghost builds, you know, where you're just using a turret and fire control system. This is a nice little boost there. Be on the setup later.
It does emphasize the importance of setup in X-Wing 2, which can determine a lot about how your games are going to play out, making your opponent place their ships first.
Yeah, gosh, I would say probably around 50% or more of the games I lose, it's either a setup or some blunder I did in the first 1 to 3 turns.
So the last crew card coming in this expansion is a very interesting one, design-wise and thematically. We've got the Maul crew card for 3 points. This card reads, scum only. Ignore this restriction if your squad contains Ezra Bridger. When attacking, if you are not stressed, you may receive any number of stress tokens to reroll that many attack dice. After performing an attack that hits, you may remove one of your stress tokens.
All right, a lot to unpack there. 3 kind of blocks of text. That first one, scum only, unless you have Ezra in your list. How do we feel about breaking the faction identities for the flavorful reasons, matching the thematics of the story?
Well, I mean, it's important, right? Because a big part of this game is the aesthetics of it and the theming. And this card is, I think, perfectly on theme here for what I'd expect from Star Wars. Design-wise, it makes it a little tricky because anytime you have cards that cross over factions a lot or just between a couple factions, it kind of blurs the identities each faction has. And on the surface, this card is similar to other scum abilities we've seen, except for that last sentence on the card, which really, I think, makes this card a more worthwhile investment.
Yeah, absolutely. At that same price point, this lines up pretty comparably to K4 Security Droid or the Dengar crew, giving you target locks or just passive rerolls.
Except in this case, you have to take stress tokens to reroll those dice, which this would make this card worse if we didn't have that little last sentence.
Right. So it's got a really core scum feel to this card. Now the Rebels get access to it if they're taken Ezra Bridger. But it does synergize really nicely with the Ezra crew, which they point out in the article, where you use Maul, get some stress. Well, now you're going to be able to trigger the Ezra Bridger crew card, where now you can turn a focus result into a critical hit. So that is cool. And I like when they do thematic pairings, like Finn, crew, and Rey pilot working well together. So Ezra Maul working well together, that's exciting.
I think that's definitely, though, almost exclusive to the crew Ezra. I don't think the pilot Ezra works really well with this card, since the pilot Ezra comes in at such a low pilot skill. You're presumably going to be shooting after a bunch of people have already shot at you, where you really needed that defensive benefit from the Ezra pilot ability.
Like, in theory, it works.
But in practice, if anybody's above pilot skill 5, you're not getting that defensive benefit you need.
Yeah, it's a possibility. yes, I have some mixed feelings on that faction blend. I like having hard distinctions, but I do like the flavor with it. Now, that core of the Maul card, the when attacking, if you're not stressed, you can receive any number of stress tokens to reroll that many dice. Pretty powerful, pretty comparable to Dengar crew with drawback, where often you're rerolling two dice there with the Dengar crew with no drawback. You don't have to think about using it. Maul, you have to be a lot more conscious. Okay, each die you reroll is getting you another stress token. How are you going to clear those? But I do like that in a pinch, you can go all in and reroll all 4 or 5 of your dice, perhaps, for quite a significant cost, getting a stress token for each one. But I like that that's an option.
It does have a very scum and villainy feel to it. This card, I think, does have some pretty strong application in the scum faction for sure. You throw this on a YV666, maybe a Bossk, and use it in combination with either an inspiring recruit to help you clear that stress off, or give you some options when paired with a Zuckuss crew card.
Yeah, and so then going to that final bit where after you perform an attack that hits, you may remove one of your stress tokens. Well, if you have inspiring recruit on there, then you could trigger that and clear 2 stress tokens and not even perhaps need to take a green maneuver to clear any remaining stress. Just clear them all within that attack where you used Maul. Also, I like just having that third line of text and having it not linked to the middle chunk means getting an attack that hits, you can clear stress tokens from other sources now. Perhaps if you paired Zuckuss on top of that and you turns out you didn't need the Maul to reroll dice, well, now you can use Zuckuss instead and then still use Maul to clear the stress from Zuckuss there. It's a pretty nuanced card, but I think it's going to make some pretty interesting interactions.
Yeah, I think the real trick will be knowing when should I use Maul in my squad list when I could just use Dengar or K4 security droid at the same point cost. Quite a bit of nuance there.
Absolutely. I think it's really going to shine in the situation where you have this one big attack that really needs to connect. You need to get maximum value, and I think Maul is going to be one of your best options to make that happen. Yeah, so overall, I think this is a pretty exciting expansion. AP5 and Fenrau are some pretty exciting pilot options. The flight assist astromech might make some older ships see more play, which is always exciting. Hopefully that works out.
Plus, we got some new scum and villainy options there with the Maul card, as well as a multi-faction option with the courier droid.
Yeah, so a lot to look forward to. Just off the bat, I was pretty excited by AP5 being just such a cheap support ship. And I really liked the type of list of like Poe, Jake Farrell, supported by Kyle Katarn. Well, now, because AP5 is so cheap, you can get some better ace options there. You can get a full 48-point Corn Horn with Push the Limit, R2-D2, Fire Control System, and Engine Upgrade. Jake Farrell with Veteran Instincts, Proton Rockets, the Title, Auto Thrusters, and Push the Limit. Plus, just that 17-point AP5, including the Inspiring Recruit and R4-D6. And still have 2 points to play with. So you could put maybe advanced sensors on Corin. Although I like Fire Control System there too. Where with AP5, you're kind of giving any of those ships a little bit of advanced sensors action. And because they're both Push the Limit ships, you're getting the value out of the stress clear that AP5 provides. And of course, with those 2 upgrades on there, you got the Inspiring Recruit clearing all that stress, allowing you to trigger AP5 all the time. And R4-D6 giving it that enhanced survivability.
Yeah, that seems like it's going to be a really fun list to run. I love to see Corn Horn back out on the field again, too. He's a really, really fun ship to fly. maybe not so fun to fly against sometimes. But.
Yeah, well, especially with AP5, make sure it always has Focus of A. That'll be pretty tough to get through.
So a lot of cool squad building options coming from this expansion. We're really looking forward to it. If you guys have any sweet squad building ideas or loadouts you're going to try out, be sure to post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/RadioTCX, or tweet at us at RadioTCXPodcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at RadioTCXPodcast.
And if you really enjoy listening to the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the show and what other people might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to Tibets94, who thought the show gave the information he really needed to improve as a player.
Thanks, T-Bets, for the review, and a huge thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. It really means a lot to us.
And if you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.